Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. This is day 15 of our series, 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. We're halfway through the series. On today's program, we're going to talk about all the different types of cosmetic formulas that you need to learn how to make. To be a well-rounded cosmetic formulator, you need to know how to make every type of product form in which cosmetics are made. Fortunately, there are really only about 10. In today's program, we are going to go through the 10 different types of cosmetic formulas, give a brief description of what they are, how they are made, and when you might use them. As a formulating chemist, you should make it a point to learn to make each type, even if your company currently doesn't make these particular types of products. The 10 basic cosmetic product forms include solutions, creams and emulsions, lotions, ointments and pastes, suspensions, tablets, powders, gels, sticks, and aerosols. Solution cosmetics are the simplest type of cosmetic formulas and are used for a wide range of cosmetic products, including shampoos, body wash, hand cleaners, colognes, etc. They are homogeneous mixtures of soluble ingredients. To make them, you simply fill your container with the solvent, usually water, and then mix the rest of the ingredients into it. Sometimes warming the system slightly will increase the speed at which you can make them. Next, we have creams and emulsions. The majority of cosmetics use a blend of hydrophobic and hydrophilic raw materials that are not compatible, so a cream or emulsion is used. Emulsions are pseudo-stable mixtures of immiscible liquids dispersed in another liquid. They are used for products like hand moisturizers, makeup, hair conditioners, sunscreens, etc. To create them, you need three formula components, including an oil phase, an aqueous phase, and an emulsifier. The formulas are made by heating up the oil and water phases separately, mixing them together along with the emulsifier, then mixing them more when they are hot. Then you cool them down with more thorough mixing, and the result is a cream with tiny particles dispersed in the diluent phase. Creams are not always appropriate for some applications because they can be too heavy or greasy, and in these cases, the lotion form is used. Lotions are essentially just thin creams. They are used for facial moisturizers, leave-in hair conditioners, and moisturizing cleansers, among other things. Since these are emulsions, you make them the same way you would make a cream. Typically, you have to include a suspending polymer, like carbomer, to prevent the emulsion from separating. Lotions are generally easy to make because you don't have to worry so much about the emulsion thickening up as it cools down. Suspensions are another type of product form for delivering incompatible ingredients. Unlike creams, they are typically clear products with visible particles like gelatin beads or inorganic minerals suspended throughout. They are used for sunscreens, hand washes, or shampoos. To create a suspension, you need to include a polymer or clay that gives the formula some internal suspending structure. Ointments and pastes. These are super thick products used for things like hairdressing and medicated skin products. Usually they are anhydrous, which means they contain no water, and they tend to be sticky and greasy. Some common ingredients used to create pastes include petrolatum, lanolin, or dimethicone. Making them is a simple matter of heating up the raw materials and rapidly mixing them until they are dispersed. Since these products do not generally contain water, some companies choose not to use a preservative. I encourage the use of preservatives even in these cases because you can't know whether the product is going to be contaminated with water by the consumer during use. It's safe to say that it's better to be safe than sorry when it comes to microbial contamination. Another product form that is used for creating color cosmetics is the tablet. These are physically blended solids that are held together by being pressed into shape. To make these, you're going to need special equipment and you'll need binders. And also, it's generally more expensive to make these products than, say, a shampoo or a cream. This is really a specialty area of the cosmetic formulating world, and so it's difficult to become an expert in this unless you're working for a company that has this equipment. Next up is powders. One of the most common type of product forms for color cosmetics is powders. Powders are also used for products like baby powder and foot powder. They are just mixtures of solid raw materials blended together to a fine powder. Some typical ingredients include talc, silicates, and starch. Special equipment is needed when making these products, as fine powders can actually be dangerous and somewhat flammable. Another common form of cosmetic products is gels. These are thick products, typically clear, and have a property known as sheer thinning. This means they stay thick until you apply a force, which then makes them flowable and thin. Anyone who has tried to get ketchup out of a bottle knows what I'm talking about. Gels are used for hair products, body washes, shaving products, and even toothpastes. They are made by using a gelling agent such as an acrylic polymer, a natural gum, or a cellulosic thickener. Gels are a very versatile form, and you see them used a lot. In manufacturing, they don't like them as much because it's difficult to create a gel that thickens up but doesn't trap a lot of air. Sticks. Sometimes you need to create a product that the consumer won't necessarily want to touch. For example, lipstick or underarm deodorant. In these cases, you'll use the stick form of the product. Sticks are solid delivery forms that deliver their active ingredients through a rubbing action. The way you create them is by using mostly materials that are solid at room temperature. The ingredients are heated until they melt, mixed, and then poured in either into a mold or into the final container. When they cool down, they take the shape of their packaging. Finally, we have aerosols. These are more of a packaging product form than a specific formulation type. You could actually create an aerosol out of almost any of the formulation types that we've talked about, if you have the right can, propellant, and nozzle setup. Aerosols are any cosmetic delivered from a pressurized can. They are composed of a concentrate, which is the formula, and then a propellant, which is the thing that shoots it out of the container. You first make the formula, as you would any other cosmetic, then you fill it into your can. You seal the can and pressurize it using the appropriate propellant. Now, recent VOC, which means volatile organic compounds, regulations have reduced the use of aerosols in cosmetic products, so you just don't see them as much. Still, it's an excellent area to learn how to formulate in because you can make some really cool products.
Today's challenge.
Today's challenge is designed to help you become more familiar with the product forms and to get you thinking about the ingredients that are used to make them. For this challenge, I want you to go searching for an example of each of the product forms. Ideally, you will get a sample of each to start a library of product forms. Find the form in any type of cosmetic that you can and keep a sample. Make note of the ingredients in the products and see if you can figure out which ingredients are most responsible for the product form. For example, for a cream form, see if you can identify the ingredients in the water phase, the oil phase, and the emulsifier. As a reminder, here are the 10 product forms that you should look for: solutions, creams, lotions, ointments and pastes, suspensions, tablets, powders, gels, sticks, and aerosols. When you find all 10, go to the show notes page and write your list of products. And for one or two of the product types, mention the ingredients you think are most critical for creating the product form. When you finish this exercise, you will have a much better idea of the types of cosmetic products that are possible. It would be interesting to see if you find any product form that doesn't fit into one of the categories we discussed, so let me know. But ultimately, your goal will be learn to make these product forms for any kind of cosmetics. So you could make each of these product forms for some type of hair product, for example. That will take some more learning on your part, and you'll have to get some specific formulations. But ultimately, that should be your goal to become a more complete cosmetic chemist. Well, that's today's program. Thank you so much for listening. In tomorrow's program, we're going to talk about cosmetic product testing and all the tests you have to run before you launch your product. If you found this series helpful, please go to the comments section in the show notes and leave a comment. Also, be sure to share with your friends and colleagues if you think they might be interested too. As always, don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever other podcasting playing service you use. Also, if you're there, be sure to give us a review on iTunes. This will help other people find the show. If you found these podcasts helpful, remember, please share it with anyone else you know who might be interested. Remember, you can also follow us on Twitter, we're at Chemist Corner, and like us on Facebook. Additionally, we have a cosmetic science forum that I encourage everyone to sign up to and participate in discussions about cosmetic formulating. It's free to join. You can get lots of your questions answered right there by cosmetic chemists around the world. Thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.